You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, once again, we are speaking with Mike Davidoff, owner and managing principal at Davidoff & Associates CPAs and CPA firm in Alexandria, Virginia, that provides tax compliance, accounting, and business advisory services to individuals, small businesses, and nonprofits. Mike, certainly a privilege to have you back with us here on Enterprise Radio.
Well, you know, I'm really glad to be here again, and thank you very much, Eric. And I'll be glad to talk about some of the services that we provide, and also some of the information that our general public and our clients can use to their benefit.
Yes, most certainly. Looking forward to hearing that. So, first of all, let's start out with what are the big tax changes that we're looking at? So many people are actually talking about lately.
Sure. Yeah, and there's a lot of buzz going on, and now we're nearing the end of 2013, so I guess those who still cannot figure out or have some questions about those changes, let me explain in a little bit detail what they are. So for tax year 2013, there are significant changes, and especially for folks who make more than $400,000. Specifically, if you're a high-income household making more than $400,000, as a single person or $450,000 as a married filing jointly, your tax bracket will be up to 39.6% from 35%. So that's a difference of 4.6%. Those in a new high tax bracket will also be subject to a capital gains rate of 20%, up from 15%, as well as new 3.8% surcharge from the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. And I will speak to this a little bit later. In the fiscal cliff legislation, the itemized deduction phase-out is reinstated, and the personal exemption phase-out is also reinstated. The thresholds are $300,000 for married filing jointly, $275,000 for head of household, and $250,000 for single. This means that if you make that kind of money, you will not be allowed to take all of your itemized deductions. Your personal exemptions and not a subtraction from your income before taxes are calculated will also be reduced. As far as the payroll tax holiday that we all enjoyed for a couple of years, that's no more. It was allowed to expire. So this means that the full 6.2% of Social Security will now be withheld from your pay. The holidays are lasted 2 years, and this increased percentage will help continue funding the Social Security system. The wage ceiling on which Social Security is taxed has been increased to $113,700. And Medicare tax is unlimited, but if you earn more than $200,000, an additional 0.9% will be withheld. Now, folks who use medical services a lot, and they are accustomed to deduct the excess of 7.5% of adjusted gross income as a medical itemized deduction, they will find that only medical expenses that exceed now 10% of your adjusted gross income will be allowed as a deduction. However, for taxpayers who are 65 or older, in 2013, they will still be able to use the old rule, which is 7.5%. So if you typically claim this deduction, you need to know about that change. Now, two other changes for 2013 that come from the Affordable Care Act, they affect high-income taxpayers. As I already mentioned, 0.9% Medicare tax is paid when there is an earned income greater than $200,000 for single, head of household or qualifying widow taxpayers, $250,000 for married filing jointly taxpayers, and $125,000 for married filing separately taxpayers. This includes wages and self-employment income. The additional taxes will be withheld from your pay if your wages are $200,000 or greater, regardless of your filing status. Taxpayers affected by this change may need to adjust their withholding or make estimated tax payments to ensure the additional taxes from this change doesn't trigger a balance due when they're filing taxes next year. Income tax withholdings can be increased by submitting an updated Form W-4 to the employer. And we actually help our clients complete W-4, settle withholding, and also any state withholding forms wherever they live. If you have the additional Medicare taxes withheld and you know you won't be subject to additional taxes at the end of the year because you have a loss from a small business, or your total earnings are less than $250,000 on a joint return, you must wait to file your tax return to receive a refund of any excess tax withheld. Employers generally are not able to refund the taxes. IRS is developing a new form, 8959, which is called Additional Medicare Tax, for 2013 to calculate any additional Medicare tax that may be owed or any excess tax paid. The excess taxes paid will be treated as a refundable credit when reported on a tax return, and with any remaining tax being issued as a refund after all federal tax liability reported on a return has been satisfied. Finally, the next change, and perhaps one of the most perplexing ones and confusing for high-income taxpayers, is the new 3.8% Medicare surtax on a net investment income. And a lot of folks ask me a question, you know, what is included in the net investment income? Okay, well, let me explain. Taxpayers with an income of greater than $250,000, if married filing jointly, $200,000 if head of household, single or a qualifying widow, and $125,000 if married filing separately, will owe the new tax on net investment income. That's the rule now. So net investment income includes investment income such as interest, dividends, capital gains, passive income, and rental or royalty income. The tax is assessed on a smaller of the total net investment income or excess income greater than the income threshold. So, yes, it is still confusing, and there are some exceptions to this, but the best thing to do, those who believe they may be subject to this tax, is to check with us or to check with your trusted tax advisor to see if they in particular will be subject to this tax.
And that is some super helpful information. So what can a high-earning taxpayer do to shield their income from increased taxation?
There are many strategies for high-earning taxpayers, and we all know that the earnings, the revenues, can come from different sources. We have clients who are employees who receive W-2 and they are high earners. We also have small and medium business owners who are high earners, and we also have folks who have a high investment income too. So, you know, there's a healthy mix of all of those, and we develop strategies for each of this category on how to reduce their adjusted gross income and or come up with more deductions, whether they're business deductions or personal deductions. Sometimes our choice of those is rather limited, especially in the case of W-2 employees, unless, you know, there's a side business or their spouse is engaged in some business. However, it's always the best thing to consult with your tax advisor on those strategies. Do not just assume that when the time comes for the tax return preparation that you can come up with those. It will probably be too late at that point. We do offer the service called tax planning, and we usually offer this during the year for that same year or for any number of the future years to show the taxpayer how exactly we can reduce their taxes, and we offer real and actionable tax reduction strategies. If it's not actionable, we won't offer that. We do conduct this type of service for a number of our clients, and as a matter of observation, those clients do pay less in taxes than other clients who decided not to do that, or people in general. So again, the best recommendation is to prepare ahead of time, check with your tax advisor, be very proactive and forthcoming about your financial situation, share every single detail, and for especially very high earning taxpayers, you might want to work not only with a tax advisor, but it's recommended you also work with your investment advisor, certified financial planner, insurance broker, and some of the other professionals as a team, because some of your investments and assets may help you devise a strategy to reduce your taxes. So work as a team. Think about all these professionals as a team.
And thank you very much. Now, how does Obamacare affect a typical small business owner?
Sure. Yeah, there is a lot of talk about Obamacare these days, and we've all seen recently that some of the mandates have been delayed until 2015. However, let me clarify what Obamacare does and does not do. Obamacare small business tax breaks and credits are available to cover Obamacare small business cost increases. While 96% of employers won't pay additional taxes, there is an increase to the current Medicare Part A tax paid by 3% of businesses and employees making over $200,000. There is also a requirement for employers with an equivalent of over 50 full-time equivalent employees. So that means that if a business has more than 50 full-time employees, then this business falls under this regulation. So there is a requirement to purchase health insurance for their workers or pay penalty by 2015. I think this is the most talked provision of the Obamacare as far as a small business is concerned. But Obamacare offers incentives, though. There are tax breaks and tax credits via the shop exchange to small businesses with an equivalent of less than 25 full-time workers to help them provide health benefits to employees. A little bit about what shop exchange is. There's an exchange, it's called Small Business Health Options Program, or SHOP, a part of each state's health insurance marketplace, where small businesses with under 50 full-time equivalent employees can shop for group health plans starting October 1st this year. In 2016, those with 100 full-time employees or less can use the SHOP. Some other points that I'd like to make here. Taxes and tax credits are based off of the number of full-time equivalent employees. Abbreviation is FTE. A lot of people know that. And their average annual wages, not solely on the number of full-time employees. Second, small businesses with fewer than 25 full-time equivalent employees with average annual wages below $50,000. Can get tax credit as adjusted for inflation beginning in 2014 to help pay for employee premiums. So if somebody says, well, my premiums will go up because of that, at least there is a provision to get tax credit if your salary is below $50,000. Third, small businesses with more than 50 full-time equivalent employees with average annual wages above $250,000 must provide health coverage to full-time employees in 2015. This is sometimes called the employer mandate. Next, businesses making over $250,000 in profit must pay a 0.9% increase on the current Medicare Part A tax. The tax is split 0.45% each between the employer and employees making over $200,000 individual or $250,000 as a family. Next, all businesses with over 50 full-time equivalent employees have to let their employees know about their state's health insurance marketplace exchange. So if you are working in a group with more than 50 people, you have to watch your employer whether they tell you about the exchange and all of these options or not. This is very important. Now, as I said already, the employer mandate has been delayed until 2015. So for 2014, there is no such mandate. However, the rules remain the same, and we expect that eventually it will probably go into effect in 2015. So that's the short of it.
Thank you very much for that. Today we are joined by Mike Davidoff, owner and managing principal at Davidoff & Associates, CPAs, a CPA firm in Alexandria, Virginia that provides tax compliance, accounting, and business advisory services to individuals, small businesses, and nonprofits here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mike, what are the typical tax return red flags that can trigger an IRS audit?
Yes, we've seen it more and more, and I know that IRS has increased its compliance audits by about 0.8% versus last year. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you take the entire taxpaying population of the United States, that can be in hundreds of thousands of households. But anyway, first is inconsistent items year to year when compared to previous years to the current years. Whenever there is an inconsistent items that are greater than a certain percentage versus previous years, yes, it is a red flag, even if it's legitimate. Remember that IRS audits folks not necessarily because they believe there is a fraud. They audit just because of certain red flags, because their program tells them to audit. It's called a compliance audit or random audit. The next one is larger deductions while income remains the same. So if your income remains the same versus previous year, but you all of a sudden start taking larger deductions, that is the red flag. The next one is deductions that are not typical for the taxpayer's business. So, for example, you have a consulting business, but then you take a deduction for inventory that is more typical of manufacturing or retail business. Also, large losses from failed investments that get carried over to future years. So whenever a taxpayer has a situation like this, even if it's completely legitimate and has all the proof, it certainly will attract their attention. Also, for those who are a small business owner, it's continuous business losses after being more than 3 years in operation. IRS eventually expects every business to turn a profit. So if you continuously show a loss and no profit at all, then that may eventually attract their attention. Also, large meals and entertainment and travel expenses, not necessarily, even if it is customary for your type of business, anytime it exceeds their magic formula that we unfortunately do not know, they will look into this very, very closely. Home office deduction. Now, home office deduction by itself is not really a red flag, unlike some of the rumors that's circulating. But home office deductions where the size of the home office is larger than some of the IRS standards, that may certainly draw their attention. So be careful of what exactly you're claiming, what percentage of your residence you're claiming as a home office. Now, some of the other items that I'm going to mention now, they are not necessarily always red flags, but they will place you in a category where those red flags will come up more often. You know, the first one is high income. So anybody with a very high income, usually over $200,000, that's already a red flag if all else stays equal. Second one is large charitable donations, and especially large charitable donations if your income is not that great. So normally they are accustomed to see large charitable donations with high earners. But let's say if you're making $70,000, $75,000 and you have $20,000 in charitable donations, that's a big red flag. Also, claiming rental losses from renting out the real estate. Usually those rental losses for most of the folks are limited to up to $25,000. However, the mere fact of claiming the rental losses continuously may also draw their attention. So be careful with that. Now, 100% business use of your car. That's another thing. Most of folks share their car, personal and business use, unless you buy a car strictly for your business. And finally, running a cash business. So IRS already knows what kinds of businesses are typically cash businesses, and they watch this very closely. So that's those are main red flags. Obviously, this is not an all-extensive list, but we, as CPAs, we look at our taxpayers' returns to identify if there are any red flags in their records, in what they've done over the year, and we advise them whether it presents a certain challenge or even danger. And maybe it's worth to omit the amount from the return altogether, not to raise the red flag, or we tell them to go ahead and still put it on a return. Okay.
Well, certainly. And finally, how can our listeners prepare for the next tax season?
Okay. And on this one, I will be very brief. I'll just say that what is very important is to have a clear, complete, and substantiated record of all income and deductions. Whatever it takes, photographs, receipts, logs, spreadsheets, anything that can help you prove that you've had this expense that you're claiming on your tax return. Everything like this will be very useful. So we certainly warn all the clients who do not have this, you know, to please prepare and come prepared when you'd like to have your tax return prepared.
Always good to have you. How about telling our listeners before you go where they can be in best contact with you, either on or offline?
Absolutely. We can be contacted by going to the website www.davidoffcpa.com or calling the number 703-232-1599. So all the remaining contact information is listed on our website, and we are welcoming everybody who'd like an advice, any type of help with the taxes, accounting, business advisory services, and more. And we'll be glad to assist.
Well, good to have you, Mike. Certainly wish you the best. Happy holidays to you, and come back anytime. Always good to have you on Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you, Eric. I really appreciate it, and happy holidays to you. And, using this opportunity, I'm saying happy holidays to all the listeners, and wishing you a prosperous 2014.
Thank you very much. Likewise, it's the same to you. We've been speaking with Mike Davidoff, owner and managing principal at Davidoff & Associates CPAs, a CPA firm in Alexandria, Virginia, that provides tax compliance, accounting, and business advisory services to individuals, small businesses, and nonprofits. And the website of reference is davidoffcpa.com, and you can call him direct at 703-232-1599. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.